Today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Taf Nun Aleph, and we're up to Sif Gimel. And here we go. Sakinim Magilin Bikli Rishon Umutarin. Knives you can just do Hagala with, okay, and with a Kli, all right, in a Kli Rishon, and it's going to be Mutar to use, okay? Ukli Rishon Nikru Sher Tichu Bo Mayim Al Eish. What's a Kli Rishon? A Kli Rishon, for those of you who didn't learn Hilchos Shabbos yet, learn Yomi guys yet, a Kli Rishon is a boiling hot, let's say, pot of water that was boiled up on the fire. Afilu eino ata ala esh, even if right now it's not on the fire, rak she'odena roteach, as long as it's still piping hot. Okay, what exactly roteach means, we'll see in the Shabura. V'kodem ha'hagola tzarech l'shufam yafeh. So now he comes and he says, but this is what we discussed. When we're doing Hagala as opposed to Libun, right? When we're kashering with boiling out the absorptions with Hagala as opposed to using fire to get out the chametic absorptions. So let's see. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Oh, no, before we get to the Mishnah Berurah. What are you using this Mashchezes and Rechayim for? You're using that Lavir, not only the listen to this. Not only the chametz, as we said before, has to be totally off, but also kol chaluda, any rust shebahem kodem machsherim, because you can't have any rust on it. Right? If you had a little rust on it, it's not going to be a problem if you blast it out with the libun. But if you don't have libun with the fire, you have to clean it not only from the mamashas of chametz, but also you have to scrape it off any of the rust. And if anyone ever goes to a kashering, they have like before Pesach. And they go and try to kasher some of your kalim and utensils, something like that. They people that are there that are giving the hasher, they look at it and they say, oh no, you got to scrub this off. And they have like little scrubbers to scrub off any of the rust or anything like that to go ahead and kasher. Okay, so let's look at the Mishnah Berurah now. Sifkaton Yud Tes. Sakinim. Bein Gedolim Bein Ktanim. Says whether these are big ones or small ones. Now, the reason why he emphasizes big ones and small ones is because big ones, big knives often are used, put it this way, more often on straight on the fire than small knives. The small knives will be more readily used with, things that are, let's say, cooked, you know, where we're like soups or I can use a knife for the soup, but things that were cooked as opposed to fire. And he says, af im nishtamish bahem chametz b'chamin. This af im nishtamish bahem chametz b'chamin kol hashana. Even if these knives were used with chametz, hot chametz, all year long. Daiba hagala lepesach. Hagala is enough. The afal pisha sakinim habluyim mishari surim. And even though knives that have absorptions from other isurim, let's say from pork or something like that, pasak ashulchan aruch biyaradeya, simen kufchav aleph shesarech lelabnam beor, knives have to be kashed with libun, kidei l'shtamish ben b'chamin, in order to use it for hot items. Hacha kevan sheyesh omrim. Here, it's different. In other words, by other isurim, all year long, the basic assumption and presumption we make with knives is there's a good chance that you use the knife also for like things that are like directly on the fire.
You mean other isurim, like meat and dairy?
Right? No, not meat and dairy. Pork, nevela, things like that. Okay, so there the halacha is you want to kasher something from pork or some type of treif. You definitely need to go ahead and do what's called libun, because maybe it was used, the knife was used directly on the fire, and you can't cash it with hagala. Oh, so, by the way, we're going to keep using those terms now. I'm not going to keep translating libun and hagala. Libun is where you have like a fire, either fire from coal or fire from a serious, you know, torch or whatever. That's firing it out, burning it out, and then there's hagala, which is boiling it out, as we just saw before, with Kli Rishon, boiling out, piping hot, boiling out any of the absorptions. So here, the question is, why are we allowing Hagala on knives, even though in Yaradeya it says that you can't rely on Hagala for treif knives? And by the way, when I said not Basar B'chalav, the reason why I said not Basar B'chalav, it's the same thing with Basar B'chalav after it already becomes Basar B'chalav. When I said not Basar B'chalav, I mean kashering it from Basar to now use for Chalav. That's something different than if it already became Basar B'chalav. If it already became Basar B'chalav, so then, if it already became basar b'chalav, then it's like becoming asr from pork. Okay, when I talk about not discussing basar b'chalav, I mean kashering it from basar, so now you can use it for chalav. We'll talk about that momentarily. So now he says as follows. So why should chametz be different? So he says it's two things. Since there are those that say that even kalim that are have absorptions of chametz al yaday or bilvad, there are days that say, let's say you have a knife that actually had on it a big, you know, ball of chametz on fire. You took the knife and the knife had a big ball of dough on it, and right on the fire, you stuck it on the fire. Even those that there are manda umrim that allow you to kasher that for Pesach with hagala. Why? Why is that? Why are there opinions like that coming up? We've always said there's a principle called kibolo kach polto. The way it's absorbed, that's the way it has to be kashered. That's the way it has to, you know, emit the isser from it. So things that are normally cooked al ha'esh or roasted al ha'esh have to be kashered with esh. Chametz is different. Why? Because according to these opinions. Because chametz, when you're kashering it when it was still mutter. Because before Pesach, it's heter. So there are opinions that allow you to kasher even things that were chametz dik based on libun. You can then go ahead and do hagala. So he says, even though there's actually a machlokes, and if we know for sure that there was what? There was 100% that this knife, you know for sure that a certain spit or knife was stuck in a fire with chametz before Pesach. There we're going to say, we don't rely on this other opinion and allow Hagala. But there is that opinion. And therefore, knives in general, number one, we could be makel and just allow knives in general to be kashered with Hagala. Because number one, there are opinions that always allow Hagala, even if we're talking about items that became chametz dik directly ala esh. Right, so therefore, that's what he says. Hacha kevan sheyesh omim shafilu kelim habluyim mechametz al yedayor. Since there are opinions that say that kelim they get absorbed with chametz from fire alone, ein tzarech el hagala, only require hagala. So therefore, that's one reason to be makel here and allow hagala no matter what by sakinim, okay, by knives. V'gam kama poskim sovrim, and there are also poskim that hold the sakinim ein lahem din kelim habluyim al yedayor. A stam knife doesn't have a din of a kli that got its absorptions via fire. Rather, it's defined as a kli that gets its absorption from absorbing, like from a kli rishon type of absorption. Da'af im hishtamesh bo al yedei ha'or. And the reason why there's this opinion is because even if a knife here and there is used directly, right, directly on the fire, kagon shetachav bo chaticha pashtida al ha'esh, you stuck a knife into a kishka or a meat kishka, a meat pot pie al ha'esh. Okay, but a pashtida has chametz, has dough around it. It's like a meat pot pie. So even if he took that and he stuck it right on the fire, mikol makom, still rov tashmisha hu shalo al yedei ha'esh. The majority of its usage is not al ha'esh, and aslinon basa rov, and therefore when we define a knife, we go after the rove of its usages. And therefore, that's why lechatchila we allow knives to just have agala. In other words, what he's saying is there's two reasons to be make a lechatchila when it comes to knives. Number one is that there are opinions that always allow hagala for any chametz absorption, even if it was absorbed al yedei ha'esh. There are opinions like that, and there are opinions that say that knives, by definition, okay, are not something that are defined as something that we have to be concerned at all, that it was viewed as an item that had its absorptions from the esh, because the majority of its usages are not directly taking a meat pot pie and putting on, you know, and sticking on directly on the fire. So since the majority of its usages are like kli rishon type absorptions, and the fact that there are opinions that always allow hagala, so here that's why he's saying knives, whether they're big ones or small ones, you could be mekel lechatchila and kasher them with hagala. Umikom makom, he says, after he just said that, he says mishef shalom, still mitzvah min amuvchar sheyikne chadashim lepesach. It's still better not to kasher your knives. Okay, it's a mitzvah min amuvchar to go ahead and buy some new knives for Pesach. Ol kasu de sakinim abluyim mishar yisurim. They also write that sakinim that have absorptions from other isurim, like pork and, you know, pork in the vela, non-shechted animals. After lechatchila tzarech lavnam, even though lechatchila you have to go ahead and do what? Do libun. There are opinions that say that even what? Even sakinim that have absorptions from other isurim, even though we said lechatchila you have to do libun, still, b'diyeved, if you did hagala and you mishtamish ben b'chamin, eino aser, they're not going to be aser b'diyeved once again, because you do not have to assume that it's always okay, that the majority, once again, the sakinim, the majority of its usages are not ala eish, okay, and therefore, even if lechatchila, we said, when it comes to a regular knife with the isurim, where the isurim are mamish aser, not like by chametz where it's mutter before Pesach. Still, but the yeved, there are those that we can rely but the yeved, and it's not going to be aser if the yeved they were used.
You don't think about leaving it wrong?
What?
You don't think leaving it wrong? Like it's mutter even from now going forward?
No, pashtus you have to go ahead and going forward you have to talking about but the yeved. Do you have to be concerned about it? V'sakinim abluyim mibasar b'chalav. And what happens if you have a knife that is absorbed with both basar, okay? And you want to go ahead and is basar b'chalav dai b'hagala. Now, what does that mean? Sakinim habluyim mibasar b'chalav. It means, as I said, where you want to go ahead and take a knife, for example, that is fleshik, and use it for chalav. So there, once again, dai b'hagala. It's going to be enough to do hagala. What's the reason? The same reason we said before. Because before the basar comes in contact with the chalav, or the chalav comes in contact with the basar, in terms of the heat absorptions, they're each mutter, so it's hater. And once again, things that are, even bliyas that came ala eish, that are now being kashered with hagala, that will be sufficient. That will be sufficient with Agala because it's what's called hetera bala. It absorbed heter. It didn't absorb iser. Okay? That's what I'm saying specifically, basar before it made its contact with the chalav. So then he says, achan ha'olam nagu iser b'zeh. So now it comes to what Will was talking about. The olam is noeg an iser because, and this that's why we never go ahead and we never, in the middle of the year, kasher our knives from fleishiks to milchiks. Why not? So he says the olam is not knowing this way because with chayshesh that what you're going to do is a person is not going to go ahead and make two separate types of kalim for milchiks and fleishiks because I can just go ahead and kasher in between and they'll rely on using one set and that will cause tremendous problems okay because once you know it's not just a one time deal once we're concerned you're going to just interchange milchiks and fleishiks then. Everything's going to go bonkers, and you're going to chafe up things left and right. So therefore, we don't allow it. However, as you do know, we do allow, look what he says, and this is a famous halacha that people always do, is what I always do, okay? He says, Aolam nagu iser b'zeh, v'kasav v'tshuvas chasam sofer, simen kuf yud, de'echa dahagi l'tzarech pesach, hu noeg lahatir lahachlev mibasa l'chalav, okay? That when you're going and you are already doing hagala, for Pesach, you're already kashering your kalim for Pesach, so he was noyeg to allow people to switch from basa to chalav o ipcha. That's why you see a lot of people, they'll bring their kalim before Pesach and pull a shtick, even if they're going to barely use it for Pesach, they'll come and that's when they're going to switch their kalim from fleishik to milk, because they can't do it during the year. They'll rely on this kula over here. Since the kavana of Yehechsher wasn't l'tzarech zeh. Now, I just said it's shtick, so maybe it shouldn't be such shtick. You really should. If you're going to do this, you should l'chadchila use it for Pesach first, and then use it for, like take milchik achamek, take the utensils, kasher for Pesach for fleishik, so then you can have a fleishik for all year long. Got it? Okay. Then he says sifkat and chaf. Whoa, it's late. Let's keep moving here. Sifkat and chaf. Sheodena roseach. The yuamayim malin resicha. So what he said is the kli rishon that you're doing hagala with can be off of the esh, but it still has to be piping hot. But you are mayim malin resicha. It has to be water that is not just merely yad soledes bo. It has to be piping hot where it is heat coming up, boiling up. Ukid lekaman besimen tafnun beis ayin sham. Again, you're taking a knife, okay, or a fork or whatever it is you're putting in. Here's a knife. And you're sticking it into a pot. You can cast it in there. Now, we don't do that. We do it when the fire is still piping hot. We make sure that this thing is boiling its brains out and it's piping hot, the hottest you can get it. And then you shove it into the pot when you're kashering it. But he says if you are going to utilize the Kli Rishon for it, it has to at least minimally be piping hot where the heat is coming up. The agala al yedei sheyitchov bo asaket, and you have to stick the knife in it. Aval lo sheya al yedei sheyitein evan meluban al asaken beyitein alav roshin. It can't be. It has to be immersed. It can't be this pouring of irui. You shouldn't use what's called an irui kli rishon with a hot stone. You can't go ahead and kasher it with irui and what's called an eben meluba. We'll see later on that there's going to be a way of kashering where you don't actually immerse the item in the boiling hot water, but rather you can pour and do an irui, provided that you have a stone that already you did libun with that is burning hot and red hot. And that's the concept of Eben Meluban, but you can't do that with a sakin. As we'll see, when you could do it, that's going to come up in the Kama Mesif above the Hagah. The reason is, the Fisha B'Kli, Ha'Eben Munach B'Socho Yafeh, Masha'en Kein Al HaSakin. The reason is that when you have a Kli with an Eben that is situated in it in a way that keeps it still, and the kli is still, then it's going to work. But an evan, okay, you're not going to be able to have the stone resting on the sakin in the proper way to do it properly. Again, we will see that this is going to be done in a situation where you have a very big kli and you can't go ahead and immerse it in a pot that's boiling water. But there, the evan is going to do a type of hot libun. Of the kli with the pouring of the hot water, and it's going to get the whole kli. But here, it's not going to get possibly the whole sakin because it's not going to be able to rest properly on it. Okay, so now we move weiter. We'll learn more about Eben Meluban later on. So here we have regular hagala being done and can be done on a sakin, and then he goes on to say the Shulchan Aruch that before hagala, what's needed is some type of sharpener, mashchezes, or rechaim, or a mill that will scrape off and get rid of the rust. And the Shulchan Aruch continued on after he said, "Lavir kol chuda shebehem kodem achsheram." He then ends up by saying, "Hilkach, therefore, im yesh bo gumos, veinoch yochol lenakoso yafeh, ein mo lo agala." He says, "Therefore, if there are holes in the kli, in the knife, whatever it is that you're going to do Hagala on that cannot be cleaned well, then Hagala will not be effective." Mishnah Brura Sifkat and Chav Aleph, Mashchezes, some type of sharpener, says, "V'hu adin b'davar acher shemesir hachulda sagi." Any other item that will get rid of the rust is also good. Let's say, you know, sometimes we use some type of abrasive cloths that can scrape it off. Sifkat and Chav Beis, kol chaluda, all type of rust. Chsiv Parshas Hagala's Kli Midyan. Just the gold. Meaning, if all you have is the gold, but you do not have any of the rust, then hagala will work to get rid of the absorption in the kli. But if there is any type of rust, you have to be concerned there might be some little amount of chametz in the rust, and the rust is what is covering it. And with this, hagala is not going to help. Because there's no hagala on something that is be'en. This is all with rust that has some type of mamashus to it, meaning it has some thickness to it. Shekorin, we call it rust, like this rust that's above the actual kli. Because when you're going to go ahead and you're going to scrape it off, you're going to get some of the rust is going to come off. Because then you have a concern that there's something under it
and maybe some mashus of chametz under it, and the rust will cover it. Avalim ein b'chaluda mashus klal rak mare b'lvat. But if there is no actual thickness at all to this rust, just a rusty look on the kli, on the knife, whatever. K'moshen nimtza l'pamim sheyesh shachrus o admimus batzad apnimi shel hakli sh'anukorin flakin ink peda. So again, if it's just these marks, black marks or red marks or whatever it is that they call flakin, that you do not have to worry about. V'chein hadin ba'oisan k'samim hanasim b'kli b'dil shekoyrin arad flakin. So he's saying you have these stains, right? We call them ard flakin. Flakin is basically a type of stain. They're not going to be, all they are types of stains. And that's the basic vart. Any discoloring is not a problem. It's that there has to be actual rust that has thickness to it that possibly could have some type of chametz under it. Or now, so we continue on in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Shulchan Aruch had said, so if there are holes that cannot be cleansed well, a gullah will not be effective. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katon Chav Gimel, and he says, Mitam Zeh Skimu Achronim. Based on this, the Achronim write, Tasakin Sheakata Shalom Mechubar Masmerim Ketanim Ein Moelo Hagala. It's going to be ineffective to do a gullah when there are small nails, right? And these small nails are keeping together the handle and the knife, right? The handle of the knife and the knife. So you're not going to do a gullah. There's going to be many holes by the nails that are, or in our cases, maybe like screws between the handle and the actual knife part itself. And for sure, if the handle is made from two parts that are attached, because in these cases, right? There's going to be a space in between it to put the sakin, because in this case, you know, normally the al pi rov, majority of cases it'll be impossible to clean it out well. So he's saying also at times you're going to have some type of pigam, like let's say some type of charitz or groove that's like in the actual between the handle and the knife, and you're not going to be able to go ahead and clean it properly unless you take off the handle from the knife. And the same thing would be when the handle or the blade in the handle or the blade attaches to the handle with glue, also ein moil hagala, the kevan shadevek miskalkal b'mayim roischin, since the devek gets all, the glue gets all messed up in boiling hot water, yesh lachos shema yachus ala devek, you might be concerned about the glue there, v'lo yatiach hamayim yafet, and you're not going to go ahead and boil up the water properly, v'chein im abes yad asuya mi keren, gam kein ein hagala mo eles, shah keren miskalkal, and he says as well that if you have a situation where you use like the horn material of an animal as the handle, the hagal is not going to work because once again the keren is going to get ruined in the boiling hot water and maybe you'll be concerned and you won't do the proper hagalah properly. Won't make it hot enough. So to summarize, we just saw that Hagala is going to be ineffective when there are small nails, and certainly if the handle is made from two parts that are attached, because in those cases it's going to be difficult to clean the kli well, and the concern that one will not be able to clean the kli is going to apply very seriously when there's a notch between the blade and the handle, or if the blade attaches to the handle with glue. We continue on in the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch had said, "Hilkach em yesh bo gumos v'eni yachol enakal so yafe, ein moel lo hagala levad." There's a little Ramah there in between, but he's saying, so if there, as we said, if there are any holes or gaps within the knife or kli, you're not going to be able to get in there and clean it well. Hagala is not going to work alone. It's sarach libun b'makay magumos, and you're going to need libun in the place that has these holes. Not going to be able to suffice with the agala. And that's Ramadia says perish. Haflata, the Rama, we skipped Perish Haflata, Shakelim Poltim Aisa Shebehem, Vuhumi Lashon Shoro, Iber, Velo Yagil. He says the term in Perish, Haflata, a taste that is extracted out of the Kli, the taste that's extracted out of the Kli, and the term is based on the Pasuk, Shoro, Iber, Velo Yagil. So again, you can't go ahead and just use Hagala, you're going to need Libus. Look at the Mr. Brura. You're going to need libun, sifkan chavdal, v'tzarech libun. You're going to have hot burning coals, red hot coals on that specific, on those specific areas that you can't get to in kasher with hagala because it's going to be mamashus there. We believe on ein tzarech lahavir hachaluda, ki ha'esh yavir sakol. And when it comes to libun, you don't have to worry about rust either, because the ash, the fire, is going to burn out all and burn off all the rust and any chametz that we're concerned about under it. Sipkat and chavhei bimkom hagumos, in the area that has the holes, that we have to have the libun, the gaps and the cracks where the mamashes gets in. Yasezeh kodem hagala, you should do that before the hagala. Do the libun in that area. Vimlo asakein mikodem, you didn't do it beforehand. Yasezeh achar hagala, you can do it after the hagala as well. And then he goes on, and he ends off the Rama, v'hanadan shel sakinim, ein la takana ba'agala, v'asalach nisba ha'sakin be'pesach. He then says, the sheath of a knife cannot be kashered with hagala, therefore it is usher to put the knife in it on Pesach. Comes the Mishnah Brura, this is because you're not going to be able to clean out the sheaf well inside unless you take apart the stitches and then clean it out well. And then you don't even really even need a gala, okay? Because you're just going to clean it out. Kli shepiv tsar, yesham chaluda she'iyefshar lahasira. If you have the mouth of a kli that's narrow and there is rust, it's not going to be able, it will not be able to be removed, then hagala is not possible. Lo mahani la hagala. O kasvu techo makom shetzarech hagala, lo mahani lekalfal b'chlei umanus. He says also that anytime you need hagala, and it's necessary, it's going to be ineffective to merely peel or scrape off the outer layer of the kli. Ki habalua yotze mi dofen ledofen ukli umanus lo mahani rak b'makom shetzarech klifa. He says because balua goes from one side to the other side of the kli, and therefore any type of utensil that you're going to use to go ahead and scrape off that layer is not going to be effective, except for in a situation where all you require to kasher is a kedei klipa, the amount of a klipa, the amount of a peel.